Cougar Sports Saturday.
It's complete and another touchdown!
Cougar Sports Saturday. A presentation of KSL Sports.
Left wing for three.
He got it again!
BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans for Cougar fans. Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. On Utah's legacy home of the Cougars. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back in. We're breaking down BYU basketball's splashy, exciting hire, Kevin Young, coming down from the Phoenix Suns whenever that playoff run ends to be the head coach at BYU. So he'll be juggling both jobs for quite a bit. Mentioned retaining his players was top priority, and then getting an assistant coaching staff in place. We haven't got any official announcements on what that staff is going to look like. I did think it was noteworthy that Nate Austin, Colin Terry, and Nick Robinson were there. They're still in the mix.
At the press conference.
Right. Cody Feger was not there, and since then it's sort of been confirmed and reported that he's heading with Coach Pope to Kentucky. So Feger is gone, but there's still possibility you retain a couple people. If that's the route Kevin Young wants to go, it's a very different pool of names. Like, Kevin Young's Rolodex is not heavy in college basketball. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. I would imagine there's going to be at least one other NBA coach that comes down. That's just my hunch, just because that's where his connections are. And maybe there's other guys that felt like he did, where it's like, I want to step down and have a different kind of lifestyle. The NBA season is long and hard. I think that is the one selling point for college basketball is, yeah, you got the portal and you got NIL, and that's crazy and that's not ideal. But also, our season is from November to the beginning of April. So it's a different demand. And I think that was a selling point to Kevin Young to get him down here, that, hey, we're not going to run you ragged like the NBA. Like, he's got little kids. He talked about how he wants them to be a part of this BYU family and grow up in it. He can't be the only one that appeals to, and it's going to be fascinating, Mitch, to see how he fleshes out that assistant coaching staff. Urgency is key, because depending on how long Phoenix goes, it might be hard to build a roster without a staff.
No question. And I think that when you talk about assembling that staff, I hope that he does have a guy with NBA connections on the staff and someone that he's close to just from a working relationship. I think it would also be nice to retain someone, as you noted, one of those names, for continuity's sake. But, you know, whatever Kevin Young wants, he should get.
Yes.
Because make him happy, and I think it'll work out okay. It's going to be, you know, a process to, you know, establish the program in what he wants it to be. And I think what's great for Kevin Young is that he steps into a BYU program that has history of success. But at the same time, there's still so much more to achieve. Mark Pope had great success, and I thought he did a fantastic job at BYU, but he left a lot on the table. He didn't win a conference. He didn't win a conference tournament. He didn't win an NCAA tournament game. He didn't produce an all-conference first-team player. It's not like Kalen DeBoer replacing Nick Saban. You know, Kevin Young stepping into the shoes of a guy that was good and really successful at BYU, but his challenge is to take it to a higher level. What makes it interesting, too, is that it's going to be in the toughest basketball conference in America. There's
right.
No four-year ramp-up in the WCC, and you can argue that the league will get better next year with the addition of Arizona, Colorado, Arizona State, and Utah. So this conference is going to be so loaded. It's going to be so good. And I honestly believe, too, Matt, if you're not in the Big 12, you're not getting Kevin Young. This was the WCC, you're not getting this guy.
No.
There's no way you'd be getting this guy
No.
If they were still in the WCC. So the perks of power conference living are already benefiting BYU. But what would you say maybe is maybe an under-the-radar piece that is getting often overlooked since this hire happened on Tuesday that not enough people are talking about, in your opinion?
I think an under-the-radar aspect to this hire is that you're going to have some continuity for a while. This is a 7-year deal, Mitch. And, you know, unless things unravel to epic proportions, which I just don't see that happening, you're going to keep this guy for this deal, and you're probably going to extend this guy.
And BYU doesn't still probably want to pay huge buyouts.
No, they don't want to. They don't want to pay buyouts. They've only fired one guy, and it really was because of the off the field stuff.
Credit, I don't think he realizes it. Matt Norlander at CBS Sports, he got the white whale of scoops at BYU World. A salary, a salary. And if you're BYU, honestly, I'd be like, hey, report this because this this is a narrative changer. That salary being leaked out, but I don't know if Norlander understands how massive a scoop is that is in our world covering BYU, because that's just, you know, we've always kind of speculated and taken educated guesses at what those salaries could be, but to have it out there, 7 years, $30 million, that's big time.
Yeah, I guess I would say in specific to that, it's the seven-year piece that's not being talked about enough, just because there's a real continuity here. He talked about it over and over again. In fact, this is what he said about BYU, the destination, and what it means for coaches and players alike.
Players want to play here. I've learned that quickly. Players want to play here, and coaches want to coach here. And I'm in the process now of putting together a staff, talking to a lot of different people. This is a very desirable place to be. I look forward to teaming up with a lot of elite people that we're going to get in here to do this thing together. And with that, let's go Cougs.
I'm just so stoked to have someone that wants to be here for a long time. I think that means a lot in college basketball. You got the Dan Hurley situations, Mitch, where someone comes in and relatively quickly builds it up. But for the most part, teams that have true staying power right now, Gonzaga, coach has been there a long time. Baylor, coach has been there a long time. Kansas, Bill Self's been there for a minute. So if you can get someone that believes in this university and that's where he wants to be, I think that's big time, not being talked about enough. What about you?
I think for me that he is making a push to brand BYU as a place that is preparing players for the NBA. This was Kevin Young on preparation for the NBA for players.
What I want to do to take it to the next level is make this place the best place in college basketball to prepare young men to play in the NBA. And I think with my background, I think we're going to be able to get that done. And I really look forward to doing that.
That quote is so significant to me because, I mean, I've been following BYU basketball very close since the days of Roger Reed. I remember sitting in the Marriott Center, 3,000 fans in the Marriott Center for that 1-25 team at the Cougar Classic. And that was rock bottom for BYU basketball, and to see the growth. And at no point has this program ever been looked at as a place that gets guys ready for the league.
No.
I mean, think about it. Since Jimmer Fredette and all the winning that's happened at BYU, no draft picks. Jimmer Fredette's the last draft pick. I mean, in my lifetime, you can count them on one hand. Travis Hansen, Trent Plaisted. Am I missing
Jimmer.
Any? Jimmer?
No, you're not missing. Arujo.
Yes, Arujo. He was a lottery pick too. But then you dive into those careers, no success. None. No success at all. There's been a few 10-day contracts, Kyle Collinsworth, Brandon Davies. There's been a few. But if you can get this program to suddenly have players prepared to have success and get two-way deals and be in the NBA, that'd be huge, Matt. And I think that Kevin Young, that type of pitch, I think, is going to resonate for recruits. Yes, you're still going to have the hurdles of the honor code, which I don't believe is the biggest hurdle and hang up for BYU. You have also a hurdle of you will still have to go to school at BYU. They value the academics. But if the athlete embraces BYU and it has a great attitude and approach to it, you will succeed at BYU. And this coach, with his connections, will get you ready for the NBA.
From an overreaction standpoint, I'll go first. I'm really reaching for straws here because I don't feel like I'm overreacting in any form or fashion.
It's hard to find negatives.
It's hard to find, like, look, the money, that's not an overreaction. Like, that is significant. That is such a huge piece. Let's discuss that next in the next segment, just how big of a deal the financial piece of this is and what it means for BYU athletics. Maybe my a fair overreaction would be, I just assumed, okay, everyone's coming back. Like, this dude, he's got the NBA connections. Like, I just thought, look, Kevin Young is not as charismatic as Mark Pope. The press conference probably didn't have as much juice as Pope did at Kentucky, but I was all in, man. I was eating up every word. Yeah. I just felt like I want to play for this dude. I'm too small to play, and I'm too old, but I want to play for this guy. I just felt like, how could he not hear this and be like, this is where I got to be. If the NIL is right, this coach is right, I got to be here, and we haven't seen anyone really come back yet, Richie or Dallin Hall. So maybe that was my overreaction. I just felt like, okay, it's stabilized, everyone's coming back. That might still happen, just hasn't yet.
And I think my overreaction kind of ties into that a little bit, where I'm willing to give this new coach a little bit of grace period in year one. I don't feel like right now, with what we know of the roster, clearly this team is, as it's currently constructed, they would not be better than this past season. Still a long way to go to construct the roster, but I'm willing to say, you know, a year of grace, that there might be a little bit of a step back, because I think what often gets forgotten last year, this past season, you had a favorable schedule by Big 12 standards.
Good point.
You didn't play Houston twice. You didn't play Kansas twice. You didn't play, some of these other teams. I'm trying to think. You played Oklahoma State twice. You played West Virginia once on the road. There just were some breaks that went BYU's way.
You didn't go to Cincinnati.
And you still had, despite all your successes, you still lost to Duquesne. You still lost to Oklahoma State. You still lost to Kansas State. I'm just willing to kind of say, you know, this could be an 18-win team, but guess what? That could still be good enough to go to the NCAA. And I just think that long term, this program's going to be better off. They're going to have more stability. They're going to have its go-to leader that's going to be the face of the program. And there's not going to be this feeling of he's going to bounce at a moment's notice. I feel like there's also going to be a better partnership where, I thought it was noteworthy this week when Tom Homel told BYU TV he found out that Mark Pope was leaving to Kentucky by Kentucky's AD. It wasn't Mark Pope calling and saying, hey, Tom, I'm leaving. It was Kentucky's AD.
That stuff rubs me the wrong way.
I won't
deny it. I still feel my overarching feeling about the situation is good for Mark Pope.
100%.
This is where he wants to be. But could you have done it in a better way?
You got to call Tom. You got to call Santiago and say, hey, guys.
Thank you.
This is what's happening. You knew this was my dream. I'm going there. You find out from the AD? That's how Tom phrased it. He's out on the beach in Florida, and he gets a call from Mitch Barnhart.
That's not great, honestly. And Pope better have success at Kentucky, because all this stuff, if he hits the open market via a firing because he doesn't have success.
Oh, yeah.
He's burned some bridges.
Well, and also, too, you know, Kevin Young, I think Cougar Nation is willing to give a little bit of grace and patience.
Oh, totally.
I think for 1 year, you know, I think year two is when you start to see it build back up. Mark Pope don't have that.
No.
Mark Pope has to get to, at a minimum, Sweet 16, or else he's got to win. Get cooking.
Maybe that might be a little high for year one, but he has to win a tournament game in year one.
He can't lose to Oakland.
No.
And initially, that Oakland sharpshooter who just only shoots threes, BYU fans were looking at him as public enemy number one. They should be thrilled now.
Hey,
because you got Kevin Young.
I do feel like the long-term health of BYU basketball is in a better place today than it was a week ago with Mark Pope.
Definitely. I agree. And I just think there will be some short-term heartache and pains that will have naturally happen. I mean, it's tough to have Dallin Hall in the portal. It's tough to have Richie Saunders in the portal.
But this is a little bit of a tangent, but Khalif announces to Louisville. That was nice. His commentary to BYU.
I think
it the right way.
I think that the best thing is that, you know, players are going to come and go in this era. You want to just have that set leader and stability at the head coach position. Kevin Young, I think, is going to be given every opportunity to succeed. And now it's about him just delivering and producing a great product for BYU. And I think it'll take a little bit of time. But, hey, we also thought, you know, Mark Pope would have a little bit of transition in year one. Then he hit it out of the park, too. So
right.
BYU is a place that can surprise you, and programs in college basketball can come together in short order. And I think with having a guy like Kevin Young be as savvy as he is when it comes to devising offensive schemes, I think it's going to be a lot of fun to see this thing come together.
He also had the luxury, though, of bringing that UVU team with him and Jake Toulson being a part of that. He'll join us in about 10 minutes from now. Let's take a break. On the other side, let's talk about this deal. How often do we get to talk about the contract of a coach? Let's dive into that next.